our neighbor, and most of us know him as a neighbor, the next Vice President of the United States, Bob Dole.
Yeah, Lincoln. Can you hear me all right? Just in case I do say anything, I've... Well, Gene, I appreciate that very much, and I'm very pleased to be here, and I want to take credit for the rain. It'll green up the fescue grass a little bit, and that'll help everyone. As Gene has indicated, I come from the state of Kansas, and we are neighbors in the sense that we're close to one another from a geographic standpoint. I think more importantly, we're neighbors in the sense that we have pretty much the same philosophy. We understand the role of government. We appreciate the role of government. Sometimes we fail to appreciate and shouldn't appreciate the role of government when it becomes so burdening, so big, and interferes so often with daily activities and dairy programs, and I could go on and on about different interference you have in your operation. But I just suggest that in about 2 weeks, in fact, precisely 2 weeks, we're going to make the choice. You're really going to make the choice. I'm going to vote for President Ford out in Russell, Kansas, but... I hope you're going to vote for President Ford wherever you may live. Now, I understand, of course, as Gene said, with 8 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate on the agriculture committees, just how important agriculture is. I don't want the farmer to be the vanishing breed in America. I think we have an obligation and have voted that way to underscore my emphasis on agriculture and my understanding, the feeling that we had to make a profit in agriculture or no one was going to stay. Now, I just suggest that I believe that, by and large, we have pretty good farm programs. I believe we've moved away from the direction of more government control and more government interference under this administration. And I believe that's a step in the right direction. Now, I don't know Governor Carter's programs. I don't know anybody here knows what Governor Carter's program might be for the dairy farmer, for the grain producer, or whatever. I haven't seen the programs. He hasn't indicated what they might be. I do know they want a grain reserve. Now, I understand a little about grain reserves. We've been talking about grain reserves. Senator Humphrey's been trying to sell us one ever since I've been in the Senate. I remember the days of Orville Freeman. Orville Freeman used to find a lot of out-of-condition corn. Every time the price of corn would go up, Freeman would find some out-of-condition corn and dump it on the market. That's how he stabilized prices. Well, in my state of Kansas, stabilized prices for farmers are low prices. They're not good prices. They're low prices. And I just believe that a grain reserve would not work in the interest of the farmer. It would be used to depress domestic prices, and I'm against it. I don't believe it's in the interest of agriculture. It certainly wouldn't be an incentive to production, because everything the government stores and everything the government controls, someday they're going to have to unload on that market, and that's going to depress prices. In addition, it's an effort to control your market price. Now, let me touch just a minute on embargoes. I know some here, if you're in the feeding end, may like low grain prices, may have agreed with the embargoes, but it's become a symbol in rural America of a lack of understanding. Now, I opposed the embargoes at the outset. I said so. I even refused to come to Kansas City with the president that next week, not to affront the president, but to let some of the bureaucrats know that I felt they'd made a mistake. It was a mistake. And I just suggest that we've learned the hard way. We're not going to make that mistake again. President Ford understands that. And I would only add this. Really the options to the president at that time were not as great as some might understand. Great pressure was being applied by George Meany and Mr. Gleason, the head of the Longshoremen's Union. They wouldn't load the ships. The president was sort of at his back against the wall. What should he do? Well, he decided it was the best interest of everyone to get the ships loaded and make some long-term agreement with Russia, which was done, and they now can buy, of course, up to, and will buy 6 to 8 million tons of grain a year. I think it ought to be higher, but at least that's some indication that we have some stability insofar as an agreement with Russia is concerned. I want to suggest, and I don't think the Liberal Democrats would argue this point, that organized labor is going to play a very, very heavy influence and a very, very strong role in the Carter administration. You know, let's be realistic. It's not anything that anyone should run from. George Meany has been rather quiet about his support for Carter. He doesn't want the American farmer, the American businessman, and many of the American working men and women to really know how strongly he is for Governor Carter. But farmers should understand the role of organized labor leaders in their policies and in business policies. And I said in the debate the other night that, oh, yes, they should have great influence. They represent millions of American workers. They don't reflect the views of all those working men and women, but they should have some influence. But as Gene Taylor will tell you, they already control the House of Representatives. They pretty much control the Senate of the United States. And I don't think George Meany and Leonard Woodcock and other labor leaders ought to have it all. Let's not give them the White House. Let's have some balance and some check on this very liberal Congress. Without President Ford there to veto bills and otherwise persuade the Congress to adopt reasonable legislation, we lose that check and we lose that balance in our government. It just seems to me that it's in your interest, and I hope there are some Democrats here and some independents here, it's in the interest of agriculture to have some balance in this government. Now, my counterpart is Senator Mondale. He's a friend of mine. I tried to point that out the other night in the debate. And I kept saying all those nice things about him, but he didn't say anything good about me, except he said, in effect, that I was a hatchet man. Well, it takes one to know one, and if he wants to characterize me that way, that's his right. I don't really think that's the role I play. I'm sort of a one-man truth squad. And believe me, it's full-time work trying to straighten out Carter and Mondale every day. I need a lot of help. But they're very sensitive about their ties to organized labor leaders. I can't understand it. I mentioned his labor rating being 95, and he sort of flinched a little bit and brought back something about the League of Women Voters. I don't know what the League of Women Voters have done for the dairy industry. I assume they've been very active trying to promote your products and otherwise help you in the dairy industry. But I just say it's time we fish or cut bait, and we're going to do a little more fishing for about 2 weeks, and then we're going to cut bait on November 2nd. But we need your help. You know, they say the farmers are upset with Ford, and they don't really know. And when farmers are restless, they vote for Democrats. And when they're prosperous, they vote Republican. And I haven't checked everyone here to see how you're feeling, whether some look restless or some look prosperous. But you're all here, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond. I'm not unwilling to stand up, and even where I'm wrong, I'll do the best I can. But, and I might add, say to this group that I voted to sustain the president's veto, so you'll have it right out there on the last increase in milk supports. But I did it on the basis, and I got the agreement from Secretary Butts, and he's kept his word. Well, he did up to a point, and then he's no longer with us. And too many words, and so he's no longer with us. But we do have quarterly adjustments, and that's a step in the right direction for dairy producers. And I think I can take some credit for that because I knew what I was saying, and I introduced a letter in the record at that time. You know, I get accused from time to time of helping the dairy industry. In fact, somebody said Jack Anderson's going to zap me tomorrow for trying to help the dairy producer. Well, I'm very proud of that. Hope you all read Jack Anderson or whoever says I've helped farmers. I really have tried to help farmers. I'm going to keep on trying to help farmers. I think the president did the right thing in increasing the loan rates for farmers. He did the right thing in imposing quotas on beef imports for farmers. And if I've had any influence on that, well, I'm going to take credit for it because I really believe the farmer's important. And you're going to have some farmers around, and the consumers are really going to be in trouble in this country. And if farmers can't make a profit, they're going to leave. You know, if you got to work for your health, you ought to open up a swimming pool or bowling alley or something where you can have a little fun. Farmers must make a profit. And farmers will make a profit under a Ford Dole administration. And I will have an active role to play. It's not window dressing. It's not campaign rhetoric. And I'm probably in the Senate today because the farmers in Kansas had some faith in me, and I had some faith in them. And I was 12 points behind in my race a month before the election in 1974. And I won because farmers across the state of Kansas, for the most part, believed that I'd been of some help to them. And I hope that you'll feel the same way, that I can be of some help to the Ford Dole ticket. And I, you know, we need your help and we want your help. And we think it's in our interest and your interest. We all work together. Anybody have any questions? I'll be happy to respond. I wasn't involved in any money thing. I read the copy, and, of course, it's a typical Jack Anderson piece. It doesn't help the dairy industry. He's been trying to dredge that up for a couple of years. I received campaign contributions and sent it back because they were under investigation at the time. But I did pass on to the White House, and I passed on to everybody else that price support should have been increased, not because of any huge amounts of money, but because dairy farmers needed the increase. And I'm very proud of, I don't think I had any influence on that because Secretary Hardin didn't increase price supports. And I said, well, perhaps under the circumstances, Secretary Hardin was right. And then a little while later, he did raise price supports, and I said he was right again. So I had to keep pulling different statements out of my hat, but I don't know what happened in the interim, but I don't have to worry about Jack Anderson. I'll worry about the farmers, and he can worry about the garbage. He's going to be looking for someone who has an active farm background, somebody who has a little on his shoes. And I think perhaps somebody who's read that OSHA pamphlet. You all read that great... I know you're all pleased to get those pamphlets and tell you not to... or how to talk to your cows and not to excite them and not to step on manure. It might be slippery. That must have come as a great revelation to everybody in this industry. Yes. Yes.
I wish you would evaluate what limitations, payments, these types of things would happen to the agriculture in the North Dakota. What $20,000 limitation payments or less?
Well, it will affect a lot of people because, you know, they fail to understand that the farmer sells everything wholesale and buys everything retail, and then somehow they think of $20,000 as a great deal of money. And I've fought that battle every time, and we're accused of helping the big farmer and the special interest. That's all you hear from the liberals. And if they drive all these farmers out of business, as they might do with a very liberal Congress and a very liberal president and a very liberal vice president, there aren't going to be any farmers left, or not very many farmers left. And I think you would agree with that. Don't take my word for it. You're the producer. And that's one of the areas that I assume they'll be wanting to take a look at. You know, there's a strong anti-business feeling in the Congress, a very strong anti-business feeling, and you're in business. Some of you are in big business from the standpoint of investment. You've got a lot at stake, and you can lose a lot. And there's also a strong feeling among the very liberal Democrats in the Congress, and unfortunately, there are a majority in the Congress, that all farmers are rich. Now, Governor Carter, you might want to take a note of this. You ought to read his Associated Press interview about taxes. He said all income was going to be treated alike. I assume some of you have breeding stock and you sell breeding stock. You've been taking the capital gains tax treatment on it. That's going to be out the window. He's going to treat all income the same. You're going to pay the same rate, the same if you sell some of your land or if you buy some stock and hold it so long and sell it. No more capital gains treatment. And I just believe that farmers have probably as much at stake as anyone in preserving the Ford administration. Not because we've been perfect, we haven't. And not because you haven't complained, because you have. And we always hear you. You know, I get a lot of mail. Not much milk, but a lot of mail. And I read it. Some of it I have to let cool for a couple of days, but I get around to it. And I just think it's in your interest. And if you want to go back to rigid controls and high price supports and get the government back in the grain business, their farm advisor is a guy named Smith, Bobby Smith, and he may be a good one. I don't know. But he hasn't revealed their policies. I think one final note that affects everybody in this audience. We ought to take a look beyond, of course, we have our special interest, and our very proper special interest is agriculture. But beyond that is the strength of this country, the moral strength and the military strength of this country, from the standpoint of what it means to young men and their mothers and their grandmothers and their fathers and their grandfathers and their girlfriends or whatever. As I tried to say on the debate the other night, there's not one shot being fired in anger in this world. You don't see young men leaving the farm to go off to some far-off country to fight a battle in some country. You don't see young Americans wounded, young Americans being buried, because we're strong, because we're respected by our friends and respected by our adversaries. And I think that's important. And I think in a large part that's due to President Ford's efforts to have a strong defense. And if we left it to the ultra-liberals in this country, the Senator Mondales, we wouldn't have any defense at all. And you can dismiss everything else. And we can complain together about certain specifics. But we can't dismiss the fact that we're at peace. And we are strong. And we are prosperous. And we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And it's not enough for Jimmy Carter to stand up and say, we're a weak nation, we're not respected. He knows better. And he does a disservice to this country when he says that. He talks about elevating the campaign. Maybe we ought to elevate America. It's easy to tear down, but it's hard to build up. So we're counting on your help, and give us about 100% of parity on November 2nd, if you can. That's something we understand. I don't want to cut anyone off, but maybe somebody wants to make a comment. It might be helpful. Anything we should be doing or haven't been doing? That dog's happy, isn't it? Well, maybe we'll have a chance just to visit a while and drink some milk. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. Milk doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. So.
Thank you very much, Senator. You know, I can't help but thank you.
How do you like this kind of campaigning and this kind of schedule? Is this the best part of politics?
Well, it's tough, but it's not really much different as far as the physical drain than running for a state office or a local office. There are only so many hours a day. You can only make so many speeches and travel so many miles. I would guess the pace is any more strenuous than someone running for a state or local office has, but you do move around a lot.
Do you like doing it?
Oh, I like doing it. I like to get out and mix with people and test my wits.
Do the towns have any names, or do the people have any faces after a while when you're making six or eight speeches a day?
Well, it's pretty hard to, you know, at the end of the day to remember where you met so-and-so or so-and-so, but I've traveled many of the same places before, so I know people, and it's always a new experience to go into a new area and find new people and find someone from your home area or some other association, so it's, you always sort of anticipate something new happening.
What does it do to your perspective, having your own airplane, having the Secret Service, the press all around you and everything, when you take a senator, a prominent senator, and put them into something like this? It's really, it seems to be a whole different game. How does it affect you?
I hope it hasn't affected me at all. We try to, just move very normally. The Secret Service said, don't worry about us. We'll be there anyway. It's different. It does limit your activity. You can't just go to church without the press.
That's a problem. Is your problem? Problems of
well,
this
you,
kind of security.
Yeah, you just can't. It does restrict your movement. That's the one thing I notice when you go into your room at night, or if you want to go to church on Sunday, you can't just do little things on your own because either you're going to be covered by the press, and the Secret Service is going to be there, which is fine, but it does limit what you sometimes want to do, like going to the grocery store or emptying the trash or whatever. You need to walk down to the disposal with six Secret Service men.
You're going to have to put up with that for at least 4 years if you win this campaign. What do you see the job the vice president is being? Mondale, for example, seems regarded as a very prominent job. It'd have a big role in legislation and things like that. Would you be the same?
Well, I think that would be up to the president. I think we can both dream about what it might be. I've been in the Congress longer than Mondale, so I assume I could say that I'll have a role in legislation. I assume I might have. But the president hasn't said that. He's indicated I would have a role in the agricultural area and also with helping account for those who may be missing in Southeast Asia. But I really can't say that I would have any specific role other than that.
Are you prepared to become president? It's be something that a man really has to think about and evaluate himself.
Well, we haven't really thought about that a great deal. I've thought more about being vice president. But I think I've had the experience. I believe I know how to get good advice and sound advice. I believe my philosophy is pretty much in tune with that of most Americans, not far right or not far left, sort of a moderate position, as opposed to Senator Mondale's very liberal position. I think my views more nearly reflect the views of most Americans.
We're trying to get a sort of longer view of this election. What do you think it's really all about, apart from Ford and Carter? What's going on with the American electorate in this campaign?
Well, I think the American people are taking a harder look at those of us in politics. I think both parties may have fallen short insofar as organization and attracting Americans to one party or the other. We've seen a shift in the Democrat Party to almost a labor party dominated by organized labor. We've had our troubles in the Republican Party with Watergate, so I think there's sort of a state of flux. American people are searching for leadership, searching for something to rally around. I believe that we'll have a good vote on November 2nd, hopefully more than 50% of the Americans, hopefully 60 to 70.
Well, the polls say, though, that they're very apathetic about this election. Do you find that?
I think there's some apathy. I think both there's apathy as far as Carter's concerned. I'm certain some as far as we're concerned. Just depends on who get their voters out on November 2nd.
Is that a result of good times in the country, that people are apathetic, or are people just cynical about politics?
Oh, I don't think they're cynical. I think there's prosperity and peace, and people are pretty well satisfied right now. I just hope those who are so well satisfied demonstrate that by voting, because if they do, President Ford's going to be elected.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I give you time to get on. Hi. Senator Bartlett.
Oh, I
didn't see you.
Nice to see you.
Nice and cool weather you have down here.
Straight out of Kansas.
Campaign's cooling off.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy to be in Oklahoma, and one of those key states, of course, and I haven't talked with Senator Bartlett or Senator Bellman about who's ahead, but I assume it's close, right?
I think the line's just crossed.
Is that right?
I think
we're ahead now?
Yeah, you bet.
Fantastic. Well, maybe I'll get back in the plane.
Good idea.
Thanks a lot. I don't want to blow it if we're ahead.
Well, Senator Dole, if the Ford Dole ticket is elected, will we have any more grain in our concerned farmers?
I don't think so. I don't see any possibility of any ever happening, but there's always that remote possibility, but it's not going to be a policy, and it's not going to happen unless there's some rare emergency. And I've talked to Senator Bellman. He doesn't see it ever happening, but...
No way.
Some of the cattle producers, wheat producers in this area said that lowering the beef import quota was kind of a move just before the election, a few days before, to appease the cattlemen who aren't that happy with the foreign years as president.
Well, that really isn't, it did happen before the election. I'm glad it did. But we thought Congress might take some action. Congress didn't act, and the president moved very quickly after Congress adjourned. And I think took the appropriate action.
Senator, what do you...
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
It's Mondale playing.
Yeah, right. It is on the left, yeah.
What? It was suggesting that government expenditures would help increase the economy. It's cited a 4.5 figure for the
I don't know the specifics. I read a headline or two. I think that came from the Brookings Institution, so I didn't put much credence in it.
Senator, it's just 2 weeks to Election Day. What are the points you intend to hit primarily over the next 2 weeks?
Well, I'm going to continue to work in farm areas, and I assume I'll be in the South a lot talking about the conservatism we offer versus the liberalism offered by Carter and Mondale. That's makes a very great difference to many, many voters. And unless someone tells me otherwise, that's what I'll be doing.
Can you win in stressing conservatism nationally?
I think right now our surveys indicate that those who have a conservative philosophy are a little bit soft. I think they want to understand about a strong defense. They want to know more about our agriculture policies. They want to know more about Governor Carter's liberal views and Senator Mondale's extremely liberal views. That's how I see it, unless the strategy dictates otherwise.
By soft, you mean they're not as committed to you as you'd like.
Right. We like them not only voting for us. I think they're going to vote for us. We want them to go out and do some work for us in the last 2 weeks.
Is that why you're working on the Reagan people so hard now?
Well, we like to get them on our side, and I think they are on our side again, vote-wise. We need them out there walking the streets and lining up the voters for us.
Do you think in states such as Oklahoma, where we had strong Reagan support, the Reagan people are going to sit on their hands during this election, not vote?
Well, I don't think so, but Dewey and Henry would know better. I think we're about 100% together here, aren't we?
Sure. You bet.
Do you think General Johnson will run for mayor?
Oh, I don't know. I thought the president could probably handle that without me.
What are you
talking
to the farmers
about?
Yep,
Johnson's
with Bob.
I'm going to talk to the farmers about agriculture policies and about the role I might play as vice president as far as agriculture is concerned.
Anticipate any questions?
Oh, I hope so. I'm ready to answer.
Gotta go.
Right.
Come on, Taylor.